Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. First John 5:20, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. First John 5:20, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ, 1 John 5:20. Children, please stand for Bible class. If you'll open your Bibles this morning, please, to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through verse 8. On the screen, you see we have Daniel 1, 3 through 7. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to open our hearts and minds to the magnificent, marvelous truth of God's Word. God has given to each one of us the magnificent privilege of advancing, of the growing in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given me the opportunity through the years to study and communicate the truth. I'm a firm believer in the proclamation of the Word of God. I'm a firm believer in formal and personal training, education. That's the reason why, as I look back over the years, I'm aware of the fact that many years were spent in my life in formal training. And then, after that, about 50-some-odd years of hard knocks training, which simply means the study of God's Word on a day-by-day basis. All of us have been the privileged individuals because we've been the recipients of the study of God's Word over the years. The book of Daniel is a magnificent book. A tremendous amount of information in this book. When I mention the book of Daniel, most of you think about certain things that you know and remember having in the past studied various aspects of the book of Daniel. So much of the book of Daniel we do not know because we've not spent the time studying. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize today again that we are the recipients of your grace, grace in salvation, grace by which to advance on a day-by-day basis. We're thankful that you've given us opportunity to love you and respond to you. You've given us salvation. You've given us so many blessings, spiritual blessings, logistical blessings. We bow to express our thanks today, once again, for your love for us. The way you have blessed us, each and every one, we thank you again and again and again. In these moments now that we're focusing our attention upon your word, we pray that we will have open minds and open hearts, that we may be able to receive spiritual truths and spiritual food for our lives. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen, I'm going to put some choice statements. You may want to take some of these down. Truth can be rejected, but never actually defeated. Truth can be rejected, but actually never defeated. Next, the lost will be evangelized when believers are well trained. The lost will be evangelized when believers are well trained. We give consideration today to what education can or cannot do for us. What education can or cannot do for us. As we look at the first eight verses of Daniel chapter 1, we see emphasized there, truth cannot be obscured by a pagan exterior. I'm going to pause and let you look at that statement for a few moments, because this is an emphasis we're going to be seeing as we move through these wonderful verses today. Truth cannot be obscured by a pagan exterior, beautifully depicted in Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. I'm giving you time to think for a few moments, and also, if you so desire, to record. Truth cannot be obscured by a pagan exterior. Daniel chapter 1. I've discovered that not only do I need trifocals, but I need four focals. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. I'm encouraging you to open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1 while I'm reading these verses. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Daniel chapter 1, verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Please follow along carefully. Notice, children in whom, verse 4 again, was no blemish, well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. So nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among them, these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I go slowly here because I want you to see that most of us, through the years, are familiar with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I heard a black minister say one time, Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. That's a little bit on the humorous side. Most of us are familiar with those words. Let me read them again. Verse 6, now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Verse 7, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Verse 8 is very powerful, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The question that I have is, what can education do or not do? A background glimpse of the book of Daniel, taking this book and opening it. Upon opening the book of Daniel, we see the northern kingdom of Israel. Israel in Samaria, under great discipline. They had been destroyed as a nation in 721 B.C. by the Assyrian Empire. At the same time, the southern kingdom of Israel, known as Judah, was also under discipline and controlled first by the Assyrians and then for a short period of time by the Egyptians and finally by the Chaldeans. The type of discipline they had included extreme economic adversity and military invasion by a foreign power. As we study this magnificent book of Daniel, we must see that no nation in history can survive when there's continuous rejection of the divine laws of establishment. A nation marches to its own destruction when it refuses the principles of the truth of God's Word. In typing this, I concluded that this needed to be stated again. We must see that no nation in history can survive when there is continuous rejection of the divine laws of establishment. A nation marches to its own destruction when it refuses the principles of God's truth. Throughout the book of Daniel, we see, number one, how God blesses in times of adversity. I think you should put it down. When we study the book of Daniel, we're able to see how God blesses in times of adversity. In God's Word, we see many evidences of national discipline and intense suffering. And yet at the same time, we see God's care and God's faithfulness to those who have been regenerated. We see also, number two, that the Heavenly Father rewards spiritual faithfulness. It's important for you to write somewhere in your notes these points. Number two, we also see that the Heavenly Father rewards spiritual faithfulness. History reveals that the nation of Israel reached a high spiritual peak between 516 B.C. and 323 B.C. all because of the biblical principles. On the other hand, number three, we see how God disciplined nations, as noted in the discipline of Assyria shortly before Daniel's captivity. This wonderful book of Daniel shows us what we should do if taken over by a foreign power. I pause to let you hear those words again. The wonderful book of Daniel shows us what we should do if taken over by a foreign power. If we have our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and our minds captivated, saturated with biblical truths, we cannot ever be internally conquered. I feel like it is necessary for me to repeat so much. The wonderful book of Daniel shows us what we should do if taken over by a foreign power. If we have our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and our minds saturated with biblical truths, we cannot, will not ever be internally conquered. When I go to Daniel chapter 1 verse 3, I find a revelation that Ashpenaz was the minister of the royal palace. And as such, he held a very high position in the Chaldean Empire. He became responsible for the selection and training of the captives, and many of these young men belonged to the family of David or other families of nobility in the tribe of Judah. What we discover is about 50 to 70 young men, young boys, were taken first. When I go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, it itemizes qualifications that Ashpenaz looked for when selecting the king's hostages. I read very carefully, and I read here one of the characteristics, no blemish, which emphasizes outward perfection. I looked at this list, and it said, not only no blemish, but well-favored. And I analyzed that to see that there was an emphasis upon physically being handsome. I continued to look here at the list, and I saw skillful in wisdom. And I put down high IQ. I continued to look at the list, and it said cunning in knowledge. You're able to see all of this in your Bible. Cunning and knowledge. And I put down intellectual. These young men were to be brainwashed. They were to learn Chaldean culture. And above all, to think like a Chaldean. When you find yourself in Daniel 1:5, you will see that these were no ordinary prisoners. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they were to be personally examined by Nebuchadnezzar. If you're following me, you're discovering now that out of the dozens of young men, our focus is now on four of them. Daniel 1:6, I read it a few moments ago. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These names are found, as you are able to see, in Daniel 1:7. But then there came a name change. A name change. Let's look briefly at these names. Daniel. God is judge. Daniel stands for the whole concept of judgment. It's important for you to itemize these names before and after. Daniel. God is judge. Daniel stands for the whole concept of judgment. We discover that when we come to the Bible, we discover that Jesus Christ was judged for us. Do we accept that magnificent gift of His being willing to be judged for us? If we accept it, for us, then there's no judgment, no condemnation. So many of us, I believe, don't really get a good concept of the total magnificent gift of God in Jesus Christ. Judge for us, yes. We accept that. When we accept that, we've been made free. We've been released. We've been saved by grace. We have an eternal home in heaven. We're going to breathe our last breath one of these days, and we'll be absent from the body and at home with the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel, in 606 BC, let's look at it. Daniel, in 606 B.C., taken captive, a very unusual young man. Let's think about him for a few moments. Aristocratic? Yes. Good looking? Yes. Highly intelligent? Yes. A genius? And given the greatest of all Chaldean names, Belshazzar. which means Bel's prince. Bel was an Akkadian god, the ruling god, equivalent to Zeus or Jupiter. I pause and let you keep thinking with me. Note, it is possible for brainwashing not to work. We're living in a time when our young people go off to college. And in many cases, it's magnificent and wonderful and beautiful. And the professors are outstanding. And they give outstanding information. But on the other hand, I'm here to tell you that many times young people go off to college and what they are receiving is the brainwashing of our day. It's possible for brainwashing not to work. I don't want anyone to misunderstand. I thought about this a lot before I came here this morning. I'm not opposed in any way to formal training. Why would I have spent so many years in formal training if I were opposed to it? However, on the other hand, I want you to realize that education can be good or education can be on the other side. It's possible for brainwashing not to work. His name changed to Belshazzar, a heathen facade. Chaldean clothes covered him. In fact, he could look like someone related to the foreign gods. But the inner man, his soul, not changed. His mind and soul had truth, much truth. And that truth cannot be obscured by a pagan exterior. That's the reason why I mentioned this at the beginning. That's the reason why I mentioned it in the middle of the message. That's the reason why I'm mentioning it again now. Let's look at it, please. Hananiah means the Lord is gracious. The members of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, gracious. The members of the Trinity, beautifully presented in the Word of God, gracious. God is gracious, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Deity too, the incarnate Christ, gave Himself on the cross for the sins of the world. Gracious. The Holy Spirit brought about the virgin conception and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Gracious. Name changed to Shadrach, which means illumined by the sun god. Another attempt to obscure the power of the members of the Godhead. You follow? Name change. Michelle means who and what is the Lord. God's grace never earned or deserved by mankind. The name Michelle was taken into captivity and the name was changed to Meshach, meaning who and what is Ishtar or Venus. Name change. People could have a change of clothing, a change of vocabulary. Azariah means the Lord is my help. This young man must have had great parents who taught him from the time he was a tiny little baby. I just almost want to break down and cry when I think about this. I think about our church family, and I think about our precious children. And I think about not only what they've learned in the church here by dedicated and committed teachers, but I think about the influence of mommies and daddies over these years. Just want to cry. A cry of thanksgiving. That name Azariah means the Lord is my help. This young man must have had great parents who taught him from the time that he was a little child, in essence, placing him in the Lord's hands, placing him in the Lord's care, placing him in the Lord's keeping. Now his name changed to Abednego, meaning the servant or slave of Dego, an Akkadian name. An Akkadian name, God of wisdom and the God of education. What I want you to see today, we must all be able to see that academic training can be outstanding. And I'm not for one moment degrading, negating academic training. But I want you to follow these words that I've typed for you. We must see here that academic training is outstanding, wonderful, and for a profession, it's actually a must. But the wrong type of education can bring destruction to a soul that's not steeped in the Word of God. By education, the Chaldeans were attempting to change Bible-believing nobility into pagan aristocracy. You ought to write that statement down. By education, the Chaldeans were attempting to change Bible-believing nobility into pagan aristocracy. Thank God for the fact that in our church for all these years, our little ones have been able to go into the classroom. They've reached the age where they could be in this auditorium for the purpose of hearing the consistent communication of the Word of God that brings about a changed life. Not anything in this world can change a person like what God's Word does. I've said it dozens of times. There's not a congregation, I'm sure, in the world that listens any better than you folks listen. And I thank you. May we bow for a moment of prayer. The last few moments of this session today are dedicated to those who hear my voice who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We've been hearing today about our website. We've been hearing about the fact that we have cards to hand out. We want people to get on the internet and get the messages that are proclaimed from this pulpit. For those who are unsaved, those who've never accepted Jesus Christ, we want to be sure that every time the message is proclaimed, that people understand how much God loves all of us. And those who've never accepted Jesus Christ, the Bible reveals very vividly that God loves with an everlasting love. And God was willing to give His Son. Jesus Christ, God's Son, was willing to come to the earth as the God-man and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. That death, oh, it's a magnificent gift from God to mankind. But I want you to all realize, and we do, He didn't stay dead. He came forth out of the grave, victorious over sin, death, the grave, hell. Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, will save any person who will believe. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, the Bible tells us that Jesus is revealing to all of us that He's the only way of salvation. By faith, you're saved through Christ. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. The last few seconds now are for you. If you've never trusted Him, you could do it now. You'd say, well, how can I know? God doesn't lie to us. He tells the truth. And when He said, whosoever, that means you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that means a simple prayer, asking Him to be your Savior. He'll do exactly what He said He would do. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, thank You so much for Your love for us. We pray that You will guide individuals even now to make this most important decision to trust You as Savior and Lord. We pray and thank You for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. 15-minute break, and we'll see you back here.